Welcome back to All the Buzz, you guys. It's your girl, Sydney, and I'm being joined by an incredible fashion personality today who has accomplished so much in her career. And I feel like you don't hear that much from her, but today we are getting right to it. And that is Dina Aljawani Abdulaziz joining me right here today on All the Buzz. I love having a fashion personality here, so let's get to it. Welcome back to All the Buzz, you guys. I am being joined by one of the most fashionable women that I've truly ever met and has had a career that is very much worth taking lots of notes of. And that is Dina Aljawani Abdulaziz. Dina.
You did it well.
Did I? Yay! Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So a little context to our listeners and viewers. We met on the phone because I was interviewing you. You just co-chaired the FIT Couture yes. Council Luncheon, which, by the way, can we discuss like the fact that you guys brought Jacquemus, and I think a lot of the ladies there were sort of like, who is he?
They're pearls.
Yes, totally. Like, now he is being considered as the creative director for Chanel.
Yes.
Like, how genius. And I mean, I'm sure you're like, yeah, this is why
well,
we did
I
this.
I thought it was actually quite clever. And I know it's a controversial, unusual decision to honor him because he's so young.
Yeah.
But it's also quite forward thinking because you also want to remind and interest young people to join FIT and to support FIT. And I think no one captures the zeitgeist of Generation Z the way Jacquemus does.
Totally.
I mean, those ad campaigns are genius.
I know, and it was so great because I didn't even have to like go out to a store to buy his items because I already own them.
Well, then you're cool. I'm not. I actually had to go because my daughter is more the Jacquemus owner
yeah.
than I am. But thank God I found something age appropriate.
You had a really chic outfit on and you look amazing. Who are you wearing here today?
I am wearing my friend Dana, a Saudi designer. Her label is by Dana. She's an incredible designer. She's been around for a while and she just is just very good at what she does.
It's amazing. I've never seen, honestly, someone who dresses so impeccably like you do.
Goodness.
No, really, in the jewelry, the shoe. Like, I just think she's, I don't know, she dresses
oh,
perfectly. Let's start back at the beginning. You have been at the helm of Vogue Arabia over the years. You've owned your own boutique. You have become such a true influencer, and I don't like to use that word in the traditional sense with you, but you influence a lot of people when it comes to style around the world. How did your career in fashion originally begin?
Oh, very easy. I can't even remember the day. So I have always loved fashion. It started with having a fabulous mother like my own. And I, at the time, had just gotten married, had children, graduated college before that, and was pretty content. It was what every other girl was doing. And it was absolutely acceptable, if not expected, to be a socialite, which I adored. But at one point, I started to get the itch. And I wanted to do something with fashion. And at the time, my dream job would have been to be an editorial stylist. And that didn't exist in my region at all. And I was trying to figure out how I could get into this world somehow. And I remember trying to get hired as an assistant buyer at one of the department stores in Saudi Arabia. And they wouldn't hire me. They said, quote, end quote, overqualified, which I didn't understand. I said, I'll fetch you coffee. You're not going to pay me. I'm happy to do it. They still wouldn't do it. So at one point, I was speaking to my father, and he looked at me and he said, why don't you just do it yourself? And I'm like, really? He was like, yeah, let's do it. And my father, if it wasn't for my dad and later my best friend, who matched my father's loan dollar by dollar to open this store up, I wouldn't be where I am today.
And that store is DNA.
DNA. And we actually used the store as an excuse to style. That really was an excuse. I wasn't really interested in the retail aspect of it. But lo and behold, it became a success. So I guess we were on to the right thing.
Clearly. And it's really interesting what you're saying, that you couldn't get that job. I know that I experienced some very similar experiences. Like when I left my job at the Daily Front Row, and this was before I decided to launch my own magazine, mm-hmm. I was applying to jobs at Elle and whatnot. And like, they all really liked me, but they said something very similar. Like, you're
what
too
you
past
that,
these positions. Nothing. You know what you do? You start your own business.
Right. And but at the time, I didn't know know that.
Right. And I didn't necessarily know it either. But I think there are certain people who are brought into this world to be entrepreneurs. And it's not for everyone. But you were obviously
supposed to go down that path. You know what really cemented my decision?
Yeah.
I have to tell you. So back in 2005, the now defunct Herald Tribune luxury conference, you know, Susie Menkes, she had a luxury conference in Dubai. And one of the key speakers was Diane von Furstenberg. And I had met Diane through another friend years earlier. But I took her aside and I said, Diane, I married my prince and I had my kids. What do I do now? And she said, now you start your business.
Ooh, that's a good one, DVF.
And that's exactly what I did. And so, hey, thank you, DVF.
She has some great words of wisdom,
she
always
was one
has.
One of the first brands we carried at the store. And we had to convince her to create the wrap dress floor length, which she did. The first people to be carried at the store was, in fact, Diane von Furstenberg.
Right.
And we convinced her reluctantly, she was reluctant in the beginning, to create the wrap dress floor length, which she had done in the 70s, by the way. But she was like, really? I'm like, come on, I'll order 20 of them.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. They sold out within a week, and then she reintroduced that style in her own boutiques.
It's amazing. See, sometimes you just need a little push.
Absolutely.
You did, in fact, marry a prince.
Yes,
so
I
you
did.
Are a princess.
I'm a commoner that married a prince.
But you are a princess.
By marriage.
Right.
Not the same thing where I come from.
Well, but in if you compare it, I guess, in England, right? Like
a little different.
A little different? Yes. Okay.
So it's a long story and it's too complicated. But yes, I'm a princess by marriage.
Which is very, very cool. I don't care and what how you're a princess, you're a princess.
I was always my father's princess, so.
That's sweet. That's very, very sweet. So you start this store. Mm-hmm. You have it for years.
Yes.
Then you shut it.
10 years ago. Exactly.
Okay.
And we decided to shut it down at the height of its popularity. And it was incredible because a few months later, Colette in Paris did the same thing.
Right.
So we were onto something.
It was the beginning of the closing of stores like Colette, yours, Barney's. Not that you can necessarily compare Barney's exactly to these types of stores.
No, Barney's is legendary.
Or Jeffrey's. But these specialty stores started to really...
With a strong point of view.
Right. Why do you think that is? That they started to not be able to make it?
There are many elements, and I cannot really speak for the other boutiques, but I'll tell you in our case, the reason was, you know, at least the Saudi market, which is what I know best, they liked e-commerce, they bought things online, but it was never serious things. They would buy accessories, they'd buy bags, shoes, pants, jackets, but none of the evening looks.
Mm.
They still wanted to have that in-store experience and the care. But once they started to understand that it was easy to buy and return things, even at that level, they never looked back. And that's when I started to say, wait a minute, if this is where it's going,
right,
I do not ever want to be someone's plan B.
And it's like the Sex and the City season. You know, they ended that show when they were at an all-time high.
Absolutely.
And it's way better to do that.
Agreed.
Than the other way around. Vogue Arabia, you became the editor-in-chief. It was the first time.
Founding editor-in-chief.
Founding editor-in-chief, the first time that Arabia had Vogue,
yeah.
Right? How did that come about for you?
By sheer chance. I had a mutual friend with the people that run Condé Nast International. And, you know, I got the call. And it was a very exciting moment because it wasn't that I necessarily believed that print was still relevant. But I really understood that symbolically it was absolutely important. I didn't grow up with the Vogue reflecting me.
Right.
And the closest thing I got to that was having models like Yasmin Ghori or Veronica Webb or Nadège Dupas-Part, you know, women that were similar but weren't necessarily from my part of the world. And so I knew that it would be important for young people, especially young women and young men, to see a reflection of themselves and to celebrate them.
Totally. And I think that's so important. And how did you, you know, go about actually creating a magazine? I know what I had to do for my magazine Spotlight, and I know it's not easy. So what
not
were those?
Not easy is an understatement.
I'm totally
and
agree.
The difference I want to say is that you also have to deal with corporate issues that you may yourself may not have to go through.
Correct.
Because I've been a business owner myself, and I've worked in a corporate environment. And although working for yourself has its challenges, at yeah. least you are running the ship.
Correct. You have the decision-making
power. So it's a bit different.
Yep.
But although there were many difficulties externally and internally, it was still a labor of love. I'm extremely proud of it.
What would you say was like your number one highlight from that experience?
The moment it was out in the world. It really was a great moment. And I still remember it very fondly.
How many issues did you print?
Two, at least on my reign.
And it's continued now
oh,
since
yes,
you've left?
It has, and I think it's doing quite well, but I can only speak about my time there.
Why did you leave?
I didn't leave, I was fired.
Why?
That will be discussed in my book.
Okay, I'm excited for your book. I can't even imagine what that looks like. Did you ever, you know, think I'm going to go and work in print again after that, or was that enough to be like, I'm not going back to magazines after...
I don't know. Arabia. You know, it's a good question. I still believe in beautiful publications. I think the publications that will last are publications that feel like special books,
right.
The ones you want to keep.
Right, right. No, it's true. People, they will keep every single issue of Spotlight, and they'll
which
send me pictures,
wonderful.
Which is so
it
nice.
It means you're doing your job well.
Totally. But, like, you know, print is very different, and I think today for it to work... You have to be really filling a special void and a specific
Absolutely.
Void. You have been dubbed the Anna Wintour of the Middle East.
That was
New
think? York Magazine, not me.
Well, what do you think about that?
I don't know. Honestly, it's not. It wouldn't have been my choice of a title.
Yeah.
But I am grateful if I'm in any way compared to such a pillar of the industry.
Do you think that fashion magazines like Vogue, nationwide, international, not regional like us, have as much of an impact today?
Not really. I'm being completely honest.
Why?
Very, very many reasons. We now live in a very different world. We, you know, when I speak to my daughter, for instance, who's 25, that's maybe a great parameter to understand what's happening. She's not reading a magazine to tell her what to wear.
Right.
She's looking at TikTok. She's looking at Substack. She's looking online. And I think although, you know, it's good and bad in different for different reasons,
yeah.
But it's become more democratic.
Totally.
So I think, you know, the era, actually right now, there's a Hulu series about Vogue and fashion in the 90s.
Just saw.
And yeah, and while I'm watching it, of course, I lived it in real time. That's the height of the power of editorial, because it was amazing to have the authorities really tell us, and there's a good reason they're the authorities,
yeah.
Because they actually have great taste.
Yeah.
And so, you know, seeing the direction and seeing all of it, was really wonderful for its time. But I don't think that genie's going to go back to that bottle.
Interesting.
But that's just my personal view. It doesn't mean I'm right or wrong.
No, I think it's true. I think for someone like us with Spotlight, we're filling a void in terms of a market. There's no phone service in the Hamptons.
Of course.
The sun, the beach. But I do think there is a real struggle for this nationwide approach, because also it's the same way... You know, kind of you were describing before, like everyone wants a little bit more of an individualized attention. So what someone is interested in New York is going to be very different than Texas, very different than Montana.
Of course.
And these magazines, the same way that you felt that there was a void in filling for your culture. Like
perhaps.
There
have been attempts. Don't get me wrong. There have been issues of Vogue and Bazaar that kind of talk or target a
yeah.
certain region within the United States
right.
or internationally. And to be fair, throughout this time, there have been individuals that had their own personal style that we looked up to.
Yep.
And they had their own voice and they were walking to their own beat. But I think just as a whole, we're in a very different space right now. Maybe not necessarily for the better. I mean, unfortunately, I walk down the street and I'm like, you have every chance we didn't have. You have access to inexpensive looks that look great.
Yeah.
We had to improvise. I had to improvise
right.
with much less. And yet you're not doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be rude or nasty about it. I'm just like, I don't get it. What's happening right now? It almost feels like since we got to the 2000s, everything got dumbed down.
It's true.
I don't know why that happened.
Sometimes things got to go down before they
Yeah, we're waiting for the phoenix to rise from the ashes.
I agree. Okay. You leave Vogue Arabia. Done. Then what? What was the next?
Then a sabbatical. A wonderful sabbatical. For the first time in 15 years, I wasn't working. My kids were going to college. It was an exciting time. I got to breathe. And then COVID happened.
And how did that change things for you?
Reflection. I think everybody can say that. Yeah. I think you reflect on things, you think about them. And, you know, it gave me ample chance to think of what else I wanted to do, if I wanted to do anything. And it's actually quite annoying, I have to tell you, when people keep seeing you socially and say, oh, what are you up to? Why do I have to be up to anything? Why can't I just be? I mean, I don't know if it's an American thing.
It's an American thing.
I think so.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I don't ask people what they're up to. That's just me.
Listen, we're a little nosy here. It's like I was saying this on another episode.
I mean, they're not less nosy in Saudi. That ain't it. I think the nosiness has something to do with this subject matter.
Probably. I think people in this country are super obsessed with what you're doing professionally and then your relationships.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. Why is it that you can't be? What about if you don't want to do something?
Right. I agree. So the pandemic was a time for you to take a
time
moment
for all.
And reset. And for all. For me, same thing. I launched my magazine during the pandemic.
That's amazing.
Like, you just sometimes have to do nothing to figure out what your next thing is.
Absolutely.
And you haven't stopped for too long because now you have your own platform, your own website. Tell us about what you're doing now.
It's really fun. First of all, it's a labor of love. But second of all, for the first time in my life, professionally, I really get to be me and just me. I used to be the spokesperson for my store. I used to be a spokesperson for a magazine. Now, I just represent myself. Yeah. And I don't know, because I'm turning 50 in the next few months, I feel a sense of freedom as well. And really what I'm trying to achieve with this website, and maybe it's a little ambitious, but I'm going to put it out there. I would like my website to be to elegance what Goop is to wellness.
I love that.
I just want to remind people about the beauty of being well-dressed, period. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a trend. It doesn't have to be anything. Just living beautifully.
And so many people look to your Instagram alone. And so many people look to your Instagram account to be inspired by
you. I'm not sure about that. I do remember a lot of people always asking me for, you know, they always ask me to show my outfit of the day, which doesn't come naturally to me because I'm not an influencer.
No, but you're really good at speaking and you're really good at dressing. So you should be doing this. You've got to start.
Well, you know, I think I'm more comfortable with it. I think that's what it is.
Why do you think people are so enamored by your style?
I have no idea. I honestly don't even understand why anybody would look at me or my style. I'm being very honest.
That is not true. No. You have such a, like, distinct style and such a look.
Thank you.
And I think people are really fascinated by you. And
well, that's lovely.
No, it's true. I even remember when I was at the Daily Front Row and it was announced that you were joining Vogue Arabia and starting it.
Such a fun. Can I just tell you, we used to have a lot of fun with Daily Front Row.
It's a great
It was such
magazine.
A great way to wait for your show to start. I loved it.
It is the best. I mean, I was there since I was 16. I was there for 8 years.
And it was fun. There's something very fun and light about it. It's
still
not
is.
Heavy.
Still is. But I remember I was the one who was assigned to write about this new, you know, gig of yours. And I was like, who is this woman? She is so chic. Like, I could just tell, obviously, you were super smart. And I don't know. I think, like, people just are really curious.
No,
so.
I think in the beginning, I must tell you, the first time I was shown in the press ever was back in 2004. And it was New York Magazine. There was something called the Lookbook.
Yes.
And this was the very beginning of it. And they stopped me in the street and asked me a couple of questions. It was Amy LaRocca.
Oh, my gosh.
Who, full circle moment, came back to interview me for the Vogue Arabia piece. So just imagine, it's like a long time. And I remember, I thought it was going to be a little blip that was going to show up, if at all. And I remember my sister calling me up. My sister was living in the United States at the time, and I was still in Saudi Arabia. She was like, Dina, you're on a centerfold. I'm like, what? She scared me. She was like, you're on a two-pager. And I remember the most commentary I got, and this is just interesting, just to tell you how stereotypes start. People were like, wait a minute, you're Saudi you look just like us. And I'm like, what do you expect, that I'd have two heads?
Right, right.
I think people really had no clue that, you know, we're just like you in most ways. We may be different, yeah, but we actually have a common experience.
I always feel, especially when I travel and I have a lot of friends who live around the world, and I have one of my very good friends in Dubai, I'm like, you know, and she'll come here and visit and we'll be talking. And I'm like, it really is amazing that at the end of the day, a woman, we're just women.
Totally.
At the end. It's the same shit in every country.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So that was just quite interesting. I remember that. But again, you know, I don't really blame the American public, because that's all they know.
Yeah.
They're thinking remote place in the world. They're thinking different. And most Americans, I'm sure, they even know where Saudi Arabia was on the map.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes this is why I think culture is so important, because I think with magazine like yours, I think that we need to remind people of what we have in common versus what sets us apart.
That's right.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, and it's usually more commonalities than
absolutely
differences.
Absolutely. I mean, I know it's naive and I know it's a cliche, but you remember that ride in Disneyland? It's a small world.
Yeah, of course. The best ride ever.
That's what I was raised on, and I still believe in it. I think I'm all about wanting to know about other cultures and understanding them.
Yeah. It's the best way to be, is really the reality. And you have lived in Saudi Arabia. You were born in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
You've lived here for a long time in New York.
I have.
Why? And I know you love New York so much.
I do.
Why do you always come back here to New York? Why is this home?
I don't know what it is. You know, I think New York as a city, it's not even where it is. It's not that it's in the United States versus not. It just makes me thrive. And I think it's psychological, because I have friends that really cannot stand New York. They'd rather be in LA or they'd rather be in London.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it is about New York. If it's worth anything, you'll find it in New York.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't really need it.
It's a good point. It is very, very true. Who's your New York friend crew? Like your fashion kind of pack?
It's not just that, it's the energy of the city.
But like, who do you hang out with though? Who
are I hang out with all kinds of people.
Like,
I have
like
old friends, I have new friends,
yeah.
I have international friends. That's the beauty of New York.
But you gotta be friends with like a very fashionable, I'm sure.
I don't know about that.
You
I can't
know?
Say that I am. I think honestly, you know, in the end of the day, it's forget fashion or not fashion.
Yeah.
If you like someone, if they're good people, you wanna be friends with them.
Totally.
You know, that's really how I view it.
For sure. But there's definitely like that group, like the Derek Glaspers. There's these different kind of, I hate to use the
I understand clicks, what you mean.
But
I understand. But I don't.
Yeah, that's not
that's
you.
Not how I roll. You could be my best friend. But if you happen to be in fashion, that's just a plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a criteria, if you will, at least in my case.
Yeah.
There's some people that are in cliques. I'd like to think I'm not.
I like that. What does a typical day in your life look like for you when you're here?
It's just really easy. I wake up, have my coffee, and I wake up earlier than I'd like. I think that's age. And I have to look at a combination of different things. So my Instagram feed, the New York Times, the Daily Mail.
Same, honestly.
No, it's like a combination of trash and high
Perfect.
Writing. But I have to know what's happening. And at that moment in time, I don't want anybody to talk to me. So it takes about 40 minutes of doing that. And then I get up and I if there's any business calls or any business meetings, and then I also exercise. And then I'm out to lunch most of the time with either colleagues or friends. And then, you know, taking the dogs out for a walk and coming back home, meeting my husband, and then out to dinner. My husband likes to dine out.
I was just about to ask you, what is your go-to lunch spot and then dinner spot?
Many. That's also a tough one. I love San Ambrose Lafayette only because I love all San Ambroses, but Lafayette in particular feels like home to me. And in terms of dinner, it's like the usual suspects, old and new, whether it's Raoul's or Indochine or the Corner Bar or Raft's. I mean, there's so many.
You're such a downtown girl.
Well, only because when you live in Tribeca, you try not to cross 14th Street.
I know.
But also on the Upper East Side, there's always going to the Carlisle or going to 423, which is 425, I'm sorry, the John George restaurant.
Yeah.
Or going to Caspia or going to like it all depends really on what the day looks like.
You'll move if it's worth it.
Yes. Yes.
Fashion Week, we are just off the heels of that. What do you think about where New York Fashion Week is today? Because we both know it is super different.
It is. I think it's resuscitating. I think it was almost dying. I'm being very honest.
I agree.
And I think there's some heartbeat. And I'm excited over that because I know that the rest of the world, especially in Europe, looks down in New York, because, you know, and the design scene. But I always thought that New York was necessary because it had an energy and it has an excitement. Yeah. It may not be the most famous in workmanship in the way that Paris would be, but I think it's important, personally. And that's why there were a couple of really great voices this last week.
Like who?
Like Will Chafaria, and like having the House of Alaya be in New York. That was a great boost. You know, Carolina Herrera was beautiful as it always is. Tory Burch is really, and you know, it's interesting. This woman, I'm really enjoying watching this woman's trajectory and loving her evolution because she could have easily just be looked upon as just a brand.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, going out of her comfort zone, which is really incredible for her.
It is nice to see now because I feel like she obviously made such a splash with her ballet flats back
Absolutely.
In the day.
Absolutely, and I remember her first store in Nolita. I actually remember Tori do you remember back in the day when there was all that fundraising circuit when you went to the Whitney or the Botanical Gardens and the Frick, and like that
it
was
still
the
exists.
Social life. Yes, but back then that was the social calendar in New York, in a way that's not so much now.
Yeah.
And I just knew Tori as a wonderful, beautiful socialite.
And now she really is
good for her.
Picking back up, and it is great for her. I think her new collection of, I keep
it's
talking
beautiful.
About her shoes, but I don't know
no,
why.
No, I like this.
This moment.
She's also good people. Her friends love her. That says a lot about her as a woman.
Totally. I love that.
She's
Gina
actually Tori. Nice.
It's good to be nice.
I don't understand when nice went out of style.
Did we have this conversation today? We were just having this conversation before you got here, that you have to be nice, that you never know where you're going to end up.
Yeah, but also, isn't that the way our parents raised us?
Maybe
I
not
don't get
everybody.
It. I'm sorry. I really don't understand it.
Yep.
I refuse to change who I am because of what I do.
Totally. You have to stay true to you. As we look ahead into the future, Dina, what's next for you?
Who knows? Let's wait and see.
You're going to Paris.
I am going to Paris. And I have a collaboration coming out in the end of the month. Would love to get your support on it.
We'll
give you information upon.
I cannot wait to hear about that. Well, thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And all the buzz.